You can open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We will continue our study there this morning. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Please follow as I read. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Let's pray together again, please. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, with us. But we've gathered in your name, Lord, and you have promised. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lift up Jesus and draw us to him. And let us know this morning that we have been indeed in the presence of the Lord. And our lives have been touched and transformed and enriched because of it. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. We have been following here in Luke, and we've seen over the last few Sundays the activity of the gospel, the activity of salvation is the same as it was at creation. It was the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And here again, we have seen that repeated through these passages. And we've seen that Jesus comes down to the river and is baptized. And when he is, the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. And he receives that affirming voice from the Father. And then he returns again, it says, returning to, you might say, his hometown, to where he had been living, from the Jordan River, where he was baptized. And there the Holy Spirit had led him into the wilderness to face this 40 days of fasting and of temptation and confrontation with the devil, with the enemy. And we talked about that and looked at that again, or last week. And then today, building on what he said in chapter 3, after the baptism, he said, now Jesus himself began his ministry. In beginning his ministry, the Holy Spirit is so present and so involved and so central in all that Christ does. And then it says in verse 14 that we read this morning, then Jesus returned. I like that it keeps mentioning he returns because he is returning. He will return. Yes, he ascended, he left, and in doing so, he promised us he would not leave us orphans, but would come to us. And what he meant by that was that he would come in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Jesus calls him the Spirit of Paul calls him the Spirit of Jesus Christ, in fact, in Philippians. But he is present, and Christ has returned again. And I just, like I said, I wanted to emphasize that word that Luke uses twice here, that he returns. That's his habit. And he's going to do so again. But he has not left us alone. He has not left us orphans. He has come to us, and he has come to us to live in us and with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what I say today, to what God is saying through his word and to this sermon, because I want you to hear what the Lord is saying and not hear what I'm not saying. You know, it's really, the truth is, the Holy Spirit kind of gets a bad rap. You know, a lot of people do a lot of things and blame it on him. And he didn't have nothing to do with some of it. But now I'll tell you, he is Lord. And God is God, and Jesus is Lord. And what they do, they have every right to do. And some of it they do without explaining to us why they did it. You know, Jesus spit and made mud one time and put it on a man's eyes. He didn't care because he came back seeing. He did what the Lord told him to do, to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So hear what I'm saying. Unlike I did this morning. Yesterday we stayed there in Knoxville to help Mark. Mark had surgery the end of the week before, and Hannah had been off work all week taking care of him, and she had to work yesterday, and he was not in condition to take care of their three little kids, and so we stayed to help. And so Vicki spent most of the day yesterday with Boaz. Now, Boaz is a 20-pound bowling ball. He can't walk yet, and he doesn't crawl yet. But he is stout. I think he weighs as much as his brother did at 2 years old, and he's 6 months. But anyway, she carried him around all day. Well, she had a rough night. And she was telling me this morning, she said, I had a rough night. Of course, I knew she had. At one point, we were awake during the night, and so I prayed for her to be able to go back to sleep. But she was telling me today as we were coming, and it was just such a rough night. She said, I hurt and ached all over. And I looked at her, and I said, you heard an ape. She said, you're going to have to get better hearing aids. Well, it wasn't a hearing aid's fault. I wasn't really paying enough attention to the problem. But she didn't hear an ape. She hurt and ached through the night. Thanks to Boaz. But anyway, I really want us to hear what the Lord is saying here this morning. And to see the essential ministry, partnership with the Holy Spirit to the glorification of Jesus Christ and the salvation of the lost. Now that's what we read about in these two verses. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Now as I said, you might say he was sealed in the Holy Spirit in a sense as we are, like we read in the communion meditation. And then we saw that he's filled in this with the Holy Spirit in verse 1 of chapter 4. And now we see here that he has come in the power of the Spirit. This dunamis, as the Greek word is, this power, this working of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. Now see, Jesus lived his life here now for some 30 years and was just basically a carpenter on the other side of town. Not one who was known or recognized or thought much of. And we're going to see some more of the truth of that next week, probably, as we continue to look at this passage in Luke. But now that he has begun his ministry, which is fulfilling his purpose and his calling, his destiny, in agreement with the Father, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and everything changes. He comes in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And what happens? Right off the bat, news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. See, when they got together, when they in partnership began about the business of this 3 years of life, of Christ's life, to culminate in the cross and the resurrection to accomplish our salvation, things started happening, and they happened exponentially through the power, through the involvement of the Holy Spirit. He came upon Christ at his baptism and filled him prior to the temptation and carried him through those 40 days. And there he empowered Christ and gave him, when he comes back to Galilee, this hearing of the people so that he could accomplish his mission. And this is all so important and pertinent to our lives as Christians and as a church. You know, we can roll along in our own strength and in our own abilities and not see much. But when we recognize and are aware of and invest in our relationship with God, in our relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit, and in that awareness and that interaction with and participation with the person, the third person of the Trinity, whose Jesus said his purpose among us is to glorify Christ. In that partnership, in that cooperation, we see tremendous fruit. We see everything changes, just like it did in these two verses. News spread throughout all the region, and he taught in their synagogues. Now, we're going to find out later, it was his habit when he went to church, when he went to the synagogue, to often be the one who would stand up and read the scripture. And we're not told there was anything real significant or whatever that happened, but now he's teaching in the synagogues, and it's bringing glory to God. He's glorified by all. This is just so important for us to get a hold of and to recognize. Because so many people and so many Christians, like I said, they've heard so many things that have given the Holy Spirit bad publicity, if you want to call it that, that they just kind of, leave him alone or have, they don't have any expectation. But he is a person. He's not just an ethereal, something out there. He is, as surely as Jesus is the Son of God, he is the Spirit of God. Now, how can we explain that, and that the Father is God who is Spirit? If you've got to have explanations, you're going to be disappointed. They just aren't for the Trinity. But we can believe, and we can relate. We can have eternal life, which is relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is not something new. This is what has always been, this relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now through the gospel, we are invited to participate in their fellowship, to trust and rely upon him, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to see you through as it did Christ, and to help you fulfill your destiny and fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. He has always been present. He has always been involved. Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, where the beginning was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He is present. He is the Lord. He is good. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, towards the end of the chapter, that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to read some verses to you from Psalm 139. Please try to follow along and hear what the Lord, what the psalmist is saying to us. I'm going to pick up in the middle or down seven verses at verse 7 in Psalm 139. He says, "Where can I go from your Spirit," capital S, "or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or death, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you covered my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." The Holy Spirit is the presence of God with us, but more than just with us, more than just upon us, like he came so many times in the Old Testament, he is in us. Paul tells us in Corinthians that he who is in Christ is one spirit with him. One spirit with him. He is absolutely essential to our relationship with God, to our maturing, to our transformation, and to our impact in the community and in lives around us. And Paul says and admonishes us, you could even say commands us, in Ephesians chapter 5, 17 through 21, he says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I believe that's exactly the description of what the psalmist that we read at the beginning of the service was meaning. When brethren dwell together in unity, that's what it looks like. It's that living presence and filling, that influence, that powering from the Holy Spirit that makes the presence of God known. It's that place, like Psalm 133 says, of unity, where God has commanded the blessing. Life evermore. Life evermore. It's His way. It's His work. It's His heart to make us one, to make us as individuals one with God, one in agreement with them and with their heart, with their purpose, with their calling for our lives, with what they desire for each of us, and also to make us one together as His body, as the church. What took place in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out. When the church was born, who was there? Who came and filled the place? Who sounded like a rushing mighty wind? It was the Holy Spirit, and His purpose was to come and make the church one, bring it to life and stand it up on its feet, in a sense, just as Christ was God incarnate in a physical body. Now God has become incarnate in a spiritual body, the church. And there He is evident. There He is to be seen. And that's what took place in Acts 2 on Pentecost. He came, the Holy Spirit did that work in the church. And what happened? Jesus was lifted up. Jesus was glorified. Peter stood and he preached. And what did he preach? He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit moved and drew people to Jesus, just as Jesus said He would do. And what happened that day? 3,000 people came to Christ. 3,000 people became children of God. 3,000 people were baptized. 3,000 people had their sins forgiven. Jesus was glorified, just as Luke tells us in this passage here in verse 15, being glorified by all. That's what you can count on the Holy Spirit doing, both in your life, individually, in your home, and in the church, is to glorify Jesus Christ. And that's the centrality of the message that I wanted to bring this morning, is for us to recognize the Holy Spirit as the one God has sent upon Christ's ascension. In fact, Jesus said, don't you leave Jerusalem until that promise gift of the Father comes. But when He did, the church did. The church rose up, the church grew, the church eventually scattered, and here we are in Cobb County, Tennessee, 2,000 years later, as a result of it. And God will continue to move in the same way until that time when Jesus splits the eastern sky and that trumpet blows and the church, filled with the Holy Spirit, is called to ascend and meet Him in the air. And as Jesus says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christian church, filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, will not fail to glorify Jesus Christ and successfully spread the good news of God's grace. The Christian church, filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit is invincible. And I might would say the same thing about you, not just as a church, but as individuals. Filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be invincible. You will not fail to bring Jesus glory and to see that blessing impact lives around.